You know, we've been waiting for this Republican civil war to really heat up. And I think it's finally happening. It just gives me goosebumps to watch, to see. For a couple of reasons. Not just because it just gives me glee. Just because it does. Just to watch them scratch each other's eyes out. That part obviously is fun. But because, frankly, I would like to see, I've said it over and over, I want to see a rational Republican Party. I want to see on the national, state, and local level, a Republican Party that's actually willing to work with others, to play well with others, to be adults, to act like grown-ups and not think that every time, for example, a spending bill is proposed, it means that the Constitution is being shredded and they're coming for your guns and your children are going to have to gay marry an illegal immigrant. I mean, back to something resembling reason and rationality. You think government ought to be smaller, we ought to spend less? Fine. Perfectly legitimate position to take. Argue the merits. And don't freak out and set your hair on fire every time somebody proposes something. Well, wait until you hear what I have to tell you today. Apparently, there are those within the Republican Party who actually agree with that and are tired of being pushed around by these teabagging maniacs that have been controlling things since Barack Obama took office. This is happening on a national level. It's been happening on a national level, as we've seen these teabaggers across the country pull out, especially in Senate races, push out legitimate Republican Senate contenders. Best example is Mike Castle in Delaware, who would easily have beaten Chris Coons and become a senator from the state of Delaware, but lost the primary to Christine I'm Not a Witch O'Donnell. Well, Republicans are sort of tired of that. They would have had the Senate back by now, but for the maniacs. And sort of more centrist Republicans, business-oriented Republicans, are starting to push back a little bit, maybe not even a little bit. And I think across the country, his work certainly has been cited across the country as really the leading observer of this phenomenon. Someone who has really seen this coming is Scott Braddock from scottbraddock.com. Scott is now with the Quorum Report and has been really on top of all of this since it started happening. Now, let's bring it back to the local level. I'm just going to turn it over to Scott. I know he's probably a little bit nervous because he's on the air now. Scott, are you okay?
Well, you know, radio is a little intimidating, Jeff. I don't know what to do. Last time I was on this radio station, bad things happened.
That's true.
Actually, I've been on this station since then.
No, you have been. But that doesn't mean bad things didn't happen.
Not that anybody would notice, but yeah, I've been on.
So Scott Braddock, Scott has a piece in the Quorum Report about the brewing civil war in the Harris County Republican Party where these two old biddies are going at it. Jared Woodfill, our friend, our very good friend, who's been here in this studio, someone I debate frequently.
You love Jared.
I love Jared. I think Jared's a great guy and could not disagree with him more. Well, he's got a challenger for the chairmanship of the Harris County Republican Party, Paul Simpson. And Paul, just to set this up a little bit, if you go to Paul's website, and I'm on a first name basis obviously with him already. So here's what this is just how vicious this local race to become the chairman of the Republican Party has become. He sort of lays out what he sees as an era of decline in Harris County Republican politics under Jared Woodfill, and then lays this out. This is from Paul Simpson's website, the challenger for the Republican chairmanship in Harris County. Here it is. But how can the GOP effectively stand for fiscal responsibility, integrity, and ethics when its incumbent chairman refuses outside audits after racking up millions of dollars in debt that he repeatedly and personally guaranteed to finance his failed lawsuits, then never paid it back, takes sides in primaries that the law entrusts to him to manage impartially, lives off crony appointments from judges whose elections he oversees? Now, that's just one little set of bullet points on Paul Simpson's website talking about Jared Woodfill. Now, Scott Braddock has spoken with Jared Woodfill because, well, let me let you report the news, Scott Braddock. What happened?
Well, this is how it works, right? By the way, our mutual friend David Jennings over at Big Jolly Politics somehow thinks that I'm the left-wing media, and that's why I was leaked this story yesterday. If he's listening, I'd like to educate him. Here's how it works. I get a news tip, and then I track it down, and then I report it. That's called, you know, journalism. Anyway, I was told yesterday that Harris County Judge Ed Emmett, the top elected Republican in Houston, has declared war on this guy, Jared Woodfill, who, again, we both know and think is a great guy. By the way, I would add that there's room for nuance in this life. When I was fired for being on a liberal radio station, Jared Woodfill called on Republicans to boycott that radio station. But I was told Ed Emmett's endorsing Woodfill's challenger, and I called Ed Emmett. He said, that's true. It's time for a change. He says this party is heading in the wrong direction. He very candidly said that he thinks that there's too much of Republicans only talking to themselves and not reaching out to especially younger people or, frankly, anyone who doesn't agree with them on 100% of everything. Mm-hmm. He has said, apparently, and he said this to me yesterday, and apparently it's been one of his talking points and speeches over the last, at least probably the last 6 months or so. He's been saying, look, Ronald Reagan would say, and of course we all know what conservatives think of Ronald Reagan. He's Ronaldus Magnus, according to Rush Limbaugh. You know, he's some sort of an icon. Ronald Reagan would say, if you agree with me on 80%, then we should be able to be friends and work things out. Emmett said to me yesterday, and has been saying, that I don't think Ronald Reagan would be welcome in today's Harris County Republican Party. He sees that as a problem.
Well, I would say so. And what we've been seeing on the national level is that the extremists, the most conservative of the conservative, and frankly, if I were a conservative, I would make the argument that the people who've been getting these nominations aren't real conservatives to begin with. But the perception is, anyway, in these Republican primaries, that these are the most conservative candidates available, so we should choose them. And then, of course, in the general election, they get crushed because the general electorate is nowhere near as fanatic as the base Republican primary voters. And rational Republicans who want to win elections and shrink government want to win elections. And they know that you can't win elections by appealing to the most extreme elements within the Republican Party. We've seen that on the national level. Now that Harris County has really changed demographically and sort of gotten close to where, not close to, but at least trended in the same way that Dallas did many years ago, mm-hmm. and has become far more competitive. Democrats have won countywide elections when they hadn't for a decade or more. Now that that's happening, we see the local Republicans really starting to panic and turn on each other. And you've got, as I see it, a faction in sort of represented by the Ed Emmetts that say we've got to moderate. We've got to at least pretend to appeal to general election voters. And then you've got the other faction represented by Jared Woodfill that says the most conservative, the most conservative, the most conservative, and continuing to appeal. And I think that as part of that, you see in your Quorum Report piece, Jared Woodfill actually bragging that he's got the endorsement of, among others, Steve Stockman.
Correct.
Perhaps the most extreme and dumbest human being ever elected to public office.
Well, you know, without commenting on that specifically, I do think that you're right. There is a definite split here, and Jared Woodfill and others acknowledge that. That there's a struggle going on within the Republican Party, and this really, really got going. And it had been brewing for a while, but it really got going after Barack Obama was elected. The Tea Party comes onto the scene of people who were already out there. They just didn't call themselves a Tea Party yet, and they weren't quite out in the streets the way they were after that, who made basically obstructionism their main thing. Somehow conservatism has come to mean saying no to everything. The embodiment of that is the senator from Texas, actually standing on the Senate floor for a full day arguing to defund Obamacare in what everyone later has decided was just a disaster. He's the only one on the planet who seems to not want to acknowledge that, though I would guess he knows it. The fact is that they say no to everything, and big business Republicans and moderate Republicans say, look, we do stand for conservatism, and we have certain principles, but we recognize that we're going to have to make some compromises here and there to get some of what we want. And
just
in
like
the state, they get just about almost everything
right,
they want.
Right.
But when you say that the moderates and the business Republicans are sort of a faction, I would say they're probably actually most Republicans fall into that category. The problem is that in primaries, it's a much smaller group that makes the decisions for the Republican Party at large moving
exactly.
toward November.
Exactly.
And,
so.
And those are the numbers. And so this whole thing of just only talking to the party faithful works right now because that's the numbers as they are right now in Texas. But that's not a good strategy long term. I think people like Ed Emmett see it that way. Now, of course,
when I
told Jared Woodfill last night, I was the one to inform him that this endorsement had been made, that Judge Emmett was going to be supporting his challenger. First thing Jared Woodfill says is, all right, Scott, you got your pad and paper. Let's do this. I can't believe this guy went here. Let's talk about
there,
it right now. He says this is a man who runs away from principle. Ed Emmett is somebody who doesn't care about principles. He thinks we ought to just accept everybody. All he wants is warm bodies. He doesn't care whether or not they actually agree with us on things. And he says, Woodfill says, that Emmett is the kind of guy who would put social issues on the back burner, that they shouldn't be important, and we should just let anybody who wants to be a Republican so that we can win elections. It's this deal where you have Emmett saying this is the only way we can win and therefore govern versus Woodfill saying we need to be true to our principles. And I think this is the story of the year as far as politics is concerned, is business Republicans versus the Tea Party.
Definitely. And it sounds like once he heard that Emmett had endorsed Paul Simpson, his opponent, Jared, just mm-hmm. really let it all hang out and went after Emmett. I mean, he's calling him unprincipled.
Yeah,
if I'm hearing you right.
This has been brewing for a while. I mean, he's not really shocked that this is happening. Maybe he's shocked that it's happening right now, or maybe he's shocked, in the way that it came out, in that I told him, I informed him as a reporter, just calling him up and saying, hey, did you hear this, rather than an announcement from the campaign. But other than that, he was pretty ready to go with talking points about Ed Emmett.
Something's going on. I mean, because ordinarily there would be, if they were even on speaking terms, Emmett would have mm-hmm. picked up the phone and called him and said, look, I'm going to endorse your opponent. I just wanted to tell you before you hear it from somewhere else. I mean, mm-hmm. that would be sort of the normal, I think, in the normal course of events. Let me ask you this, because you mm-hmm. brought up Ted Cruz. If yeah. you go on the Jared Woodfill for Chairman website, you will see a video featuring this.
I want to take a moment and say thank you to Jared, the chairman of the largest county in this great state of ours. He has been an effective leader. I've endorsed him for his reelection, and I've done it because of his record. I mean, he's the kind of person who I'm proud to stand with. I mean, you see what has happened in this county over the course of the last few years. We had some bumps back in the mid-2000s, if you'll recall. And to see that being built back, and it's been because of your leadership, Jared. And I'm really proud to have you as a friend and as the leader of our biggest county. So thank you for what you've done.
So there we hear Rick Perry endorsing Jared Woodfill. Mm-hmm. Have any other party luminaries, other than Steve Stockman, I mean, of that caliber, statewide Republicans, has Ted Cruz waded into this? Has John Cornyn or Greg Abbott, any of them, said anything?
No, none of them have said anything about this. Ted Cruz, by the way, is starting to dabble his feet into dabble his toes into the water as far as endorsing people. You may have seen his father endorsed Katrina Pearson, who I know you're a big fan of. Katrina Pearson's running against Pete Sessions up in Dallas.
That's because she thinks the text of the Declaration of Independence precedes the Constitution, as we've established. I have played that audio before.
It's sort of a clever way for the Cruises to start getting involved in some of these races further down ballot. We're told that Ted Cruz isn't going to get involved in any of these races, but I had some sources in Dallas tell me just this past week that Rafael Cruz, his father, had also been saying privately to friends and family that he wasn't going to be endorsing anybody either. And then a week later, he endorses this woman who used to work on Ted Cruz's campaign. So it sounds like they're getting involved at least at that level. You know, one of the things that's going on here, Jeff, I think, and, you know, I think you set this up properly at the beginning. Big kudos. My radio hat's off to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think that, the fact is that this is a struggle happening at every level within the Republican Party. You have at the federal level John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, saying that these Tea Party folks are ridiculous and they need to quit calling the shots. He's exasperated with all of this. At the state level, you have new groups coming out, business groups that are starting to target the Tea Party Republicans who are supported by folks like Michael Quinn Sullivan, Empower Texans, Texas Public Policy Foundation, and all that. And now at the local level, you have mainstream Republicans like Ed Emmett supporting the challenger, Jared Whitfield. Very, very interesting. And this also has implications for the lieutenant governor's race. I know a lot of your listeners would be interested in this because I know a lot of them are probably afraid of a guy named Dan Patrick getting into office because the rhetoric that he spews is pretty extreme in the estimation of even a lot of Republicans. One thing that's going on here is if, and think about this, if you have the Harris County Republican Party, which is home base for Dan Patrick, if Harris County Republicans are at war with each other, that has implications for his run for lieutenant governor because he's banking on the Houston vote to be able to try to get into a runoff with David Dewhurst. I'm not sure whether or not this is good for, or bad for him. I mean, on the one hand, it may be that the base Tea Party conservative voters really get out to support Woodville in Harris County, and that could potentially be good for Dan Patrick. On the other hand, if this war is going on and they're split, then that means the Houston vote is split, and then Dan would have to make that up in other places.
I've got some great audio coming up of David Dewhurst and Dan Patrick fighting it out at the lieutenant governor debate, arguing, trying to be the most creationist of all of the creationists when it comes to education, teaching the fact of evolution in schools versus the unconstitutional idea of teaching creationism, which they both, of course, support. Scott Braddock, I've got to run. I'm way over time. I appreciate you being on. ScottBraddock.com is where you will find all of this information. Go to ScottBraddock.com and enjoy yourself. Look at all of the stuff that Scott's been reporting about the Tea Party being at war with the sort of the mainstream Republican business tightwad types. Look at all of that stuff. It's absolutely fascinating. And we will, Scott, I hope you'll come back and tell us more as this war develops further and we all become ever more giddy about it.
Anytime, Jeff. Thank you.
Scott Braddock of ScottBraddock.com and of the Quorum Report.